إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, once again, today is Thursday and tomorrow will be Friday. Since I have this responsibility of the Jummah, this issue of how soon the Jummah comes is something that I get reminded of every week, very consciously. That is one Friday and then next Friday and the following Friday and so on. And since I have the responsibility of the khutbah, then I have to get my khutbah ready in time and all of that. And since I document everything, so I have to write all that. Then it gets published. So all of this happens and it serves to remind me, alhamdulillah, of how fast time is moving. Now, obviously, in a literal sense, we don't mean that in a literal sense, because we know that time is not moving fast or slow or anything. Time is moving at its own time. The issue is, the question to ask is, what am I doing with the time? I remind myself and you that we had our longest lifespan when we were born. At that point, we had the longest lifespan. And then every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, it is being reduced. So it's like a stopwatch. You set a stopwatch for, say, 10 minutes. And now the watch is actually running backwards. So once the 10 minutes is over, you get an alarm, right? So sometimes you set task for yourself and say, okay, for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. That is the nature of our life. Our life is a stopwatch which started the moment we took birth, and at some point, which we don't know, it's going to go, that's it, khalas. That point we know will come because the watch is set, but we don't know when that is. It might be now, it might be tomorrow, it might be 1000 years from today, but one day it will come to an end. Therefore, one day, this will be the last Fajr reminder that I give, and it will be the last Fajr reminder you hear from me. One day, it will be the last Jummah that I give, and the last Jummah that you will hear from me. One day, it will be the last Ramadan for you, and the last Ramadan for me, and so on, and so on, and so on. How many of our own musallis in this very masjid do we know who were with us last Ramadan but who are not with us this Ramadan? So last Ramadan, when they were with us, did they know that this was going to be their last Ramadan? They didn't know that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all this Ramadan in good health and with tawfiq to make the maximum of it. But if we get this Ramadan, do we know whether this is going to be our last Ramadan or not? Seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as anytime He wishes, but among the special times of acceptance of du'a is Jummah. So about Jummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is one sa'ah in Yawmul Jummah, on the day of Jummah, there is one time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts whatever dua you ask. We ask Allah to grant us that sa'ah and to accept our duas. Now, one day, that will be the last Jummah. So, if I had the tawfiq to make dua and to make the maximum of Jummah, then alhamdulillah. But if I lost it, then it's gone. It is gone. It is not going to come back. Same thing with Ramadan. We know all the fadail of Ramadan every year. Some waaz, some bayan, somebody will, narrate the fadail of Ramadan. These are the fadail, those are the fadail, and so on and so on and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants maghfirat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers with mercy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescues from the hellfire, and, the fadail of 70 times, every fard is multiplied by 70 times for the reward, and every nafil gets the reward equal to a fard, and so on and so forth. Right? We know all of this. But one day, that Ramadan will be the last. And if a person loses that, then it is gone. That will not come back. So if a person, for example, this Ramadan, if I spend the last 10 days in Aitikaf, then inshallah I would have got Laylatul Qadr. This is the benefit of Aitikaf in the last 10 days. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the purpose of Aitikaf is to find Laylatul Qadr. And if one who makes the Aitikaf, he finds it. But one who does not make Aitikaf, right? So, maybe he found Laylatul Qadr, maybe he did not get it because he was not in Aitikaf. So, he prayed on a particular night or he didn't pray, he slept and so forth. So, maybe he got it, maybe he did not get it. And then before the following Ramadan, he dies. Now imagine that situation, your last moments of your life and you are living with that regret that I wish I had made Aitikaf in Ramadan. Because now I would have had the benefit of 83, 84 years, more than 84 years of hasanat, of ibadah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the benefit of Laylatul Qadr. Khayrun min alf shahr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is better than 1,000 months. The reason I am saying this is because this applies to every single thing in life. I meet my parents, maybe that is the last meeting with my parents, I don't know. How should that meeting be? Maybe I meet my teachers, maybe that was the last meeting. I don't know. How should that meeting be? The benefit of thinking in this way, and this refers to Rasulullah's advice where he said the most intelligent one is the one who remembers his death most often. That does not mean that you live in some sort of morbid situation. It means that you remember this and say that whichever action I am taking may be my last action. And if that is my last action, how should it be? Now, anyone, if you are doing something and you say, oh, this is the last time I am doing it. In most American universities, definitely in Carnegie Mellon and some of the Ivy League schools, there is a custom where a professor, before he retires, he is honored by giving him the opportunity to deliver what is called the last lecture. And the whole, all the staff and all the students, they all gather and so on, and they honor the professor by coming to that lecture. It's called the last lecture. That last lecture is what? It's basically wasiya. It's basically what are the things that you want us to remember after you are gone. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the lecture. If this was the last lecture, if tomorrow does not come, then what is it that I want you to remember? That is the purpose of remembering this, of saying that any moment, any time, any event might be my last. The other thing also which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that you will be resurrected in the state in which you die. And that's another reason to remember this last business, because if this is my last day, or if this is my last event, would I like to be resurrected in this state? So if somebody says, would you like to be resurrected doing a fajr reminder, I would say, yes, I think it's a good idea. In the masjid, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. But if I was doing something else, yeah, may Allah protect us from all forms of disobedience. But if I was not doing that, if I was doing something else, would you like to be resurrected in that state? Seriously, all of these points, I mean, if you just ask a question, the answer is obvious. Right? If I say, do you want to be resurrected in a state where you are disobeying Allah? You are lying, you are cheating, you are backbiting, or whatever it is. Answer is no. Who will say yes? Nobody will say yes. But is that what our life is? If somebody says, no, I would not like to be resurrected in a state where I am disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would not like to be resurrected in a state where I am going against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then if you are true, then what must happen? your life must be free from the disobedience of Allah, and your life must be free from the going against the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If that is not happening, it means you are lying. As simple as that. It means that you are lying. It means that you are, that your action is an action of nifaq. What else does it mean? Tell me. Because if you really believe in the Akhirah, if you really believe in meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you say about yourself and your life that this is how I want to live, then the life must reflect that. If I say I would like to be known as a hospitable person, and then you come to my house, and then I tell him, "Acha, aap chai to pee ke aaye honge." I believe Lucknow ke log bolte hain, "Aap khana to kha ke aaye honge." You must have, I'm sure you must have had your tea. I'm sure you must have had your lunch. And then, where is the hospitality? Where is hospitality? So I want to be known as hospitable. But when my friend comes, I don't even offer him a cup of tea. I don't offer him any refreshment. I don't offer him anything. And I, you know, he gets a feeling that this man wants to get rid of me. And he feels, why did I even come to his house? You know, I feel so unwelcome. I should not have. He goes away with the feeling that this was a mistake. I should not have gone to his house. Sometimes it happens when you go to meet people. Then where is the hospitality? So the point is that saying that I want to be hospitable, I want to be known as a hospitable person, this is a lie. That's not true. If it was true, then how come you are doing that? So I want to live my life in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then why are you disobeying Allah? I want to live my life according to the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then why are you going against the Sunnah? A person who wants to live according to the ahkam, according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, must do two things. Number one, find out which hukum and which sunnah applies to me at this point in time. And number two is follow that. It's simple as that. You don't have to know every conceivable hukum. For example, if I tell you, tell me what are the entire, all the rules of inheritance, you don't need to know that. Right now, you are not in a situation where you are dealing with inheritance. So, if you say, you know, I'm sorry, I cannot tell you all the rules of inheritance, then it's okay. You don't need to know that. Right? If I ask Saifir, what are the faraid? What are the things which are compulsory, which are fard in terms of the rights of the wife on you? I might say, well, you know, this is, I should find out, but right now I'm not going to get married. So right now, if you tell me, please tell me what are the rights, I don't know. I may know something, I may not know something. So is he at fault? He's not at fault, because that is not what he's doing now. But if I ask his father the same thing, should he know what the rights of his wife are? Of course, he's married, alhamdulillah. So whatever applies to you, so right now, time of Salatul Fajr, what is the rule which applies? Pray Salatul Fajr. Where? Under your bed. No. In the masjid. That is the rule. The rule is pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Am I doing that? If I am not doing that, then saying that, no, this, that, there is no point. There is no sense in all that. If you cannot get out of your bed, and if you cannot pray Salatul Fajr, and what is the biggest reason today, among people like us, what is the biggest reason that people don't come to the masjid to pray Salatul Fajr? Because you've got air conditioning in your house. Seriously, the biggest reason you are not coming to the masjid to pray Salatul Fajr is because, alhamdulillah, your bedroom is so nice and cool, and the AC is running, and you've got this nice mattress, and you've got these nice pillows, and shaitan puts you to sleep. So you have converted a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into a curse upon yourself. Instead of that, if you were a poor man and if you were living in a place where you had mosquitoes and where you were sweating all night because it is a very hot time now in Hyderabad, then you would have woken up for Salatul Fajr because you would not have slept half the night in any case. But because you are now living in this, you know, big house and you have all this these amenities, you have converted that into a curse upon yourself. How what sense does it make? Tell me. So Allah gave you wealth for this reason? That is the point. The point is, for us to examine our own lives and say, in my life, what am I doing which is the disobedience of Allah and remove it? In my life, what am I doing which is the disobedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and remove it? Khalas. And as I said, you don't have to know everything. Whatever applies to you right now, just do that. Khalas, that's enough. Inshallah al-Mustan, that is enough. Because if that is my last act is to come back on the obedience to Allah. My last act is to come back on the obedience to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if that is the last act, inshallah, this is enough for our najat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to obey Him and never to disobey Him and to live our lives according to the blessed sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وصلى الله على نبيه الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.